The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
There was some big news in politics over the weekend. Opposition leader Lisa Harvey called it a day on leading the West Australian Liberal Party, less than 4 months before the next state election. Her sudden resignation was announced during a presser, which lasted mere minutes. But was it really a surprise? In the eyes of WA, it seems Premier Mark McGowan can do no wrong. His approval ratings are through the roof and he's reached almost rock star status for his handling of the challenges with COVID-19. So it's been a tough time to be in opposition. Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations at Notre Dame University down in Frio, Dr. Martin Drum joins me now. Good morning, Doctor. Thanks for chatting today. What is all of this nonsense happening up at Parliament House?
Well, it's rather extraordinary because we're closing in fast on the 2021 election, and the opposition leader Lisa Harvey's pulled the plug, and so she's resigned. And the Liberals need to select a new leader, and they're going to have very little time to really adjust and slip into the role before an election's held.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, obviously, for any opposition leader to win an election probably in the next cycle, specifically in 110 days. What do you think that they're hoping to achieve if it's not going to be an all-out win?
Well, the phrase that we sometimes hear is called save the furniture. The first task for any incoming leader is to try and ensure that they hold on to their seats that they already have. So they've got very few seats at the moment in the state parliament. That makes life very, very difficult for them. Very hard to perform well in parliament when you've got a really small team and you don't have the resources that you get from having MPs. So if they went back further backwards at this coming election, that would be rather disastrous for the Liberals. And, you know, the possibility if they perform badly this time is that they could be in opposition for at least three terms.
Which is
not what they would want.
No. And I guess that's not good for democracy. My colleague Peter Law has written many times around just making sure that you need to have a balance of power, specifically in the upper house where legislation is heavily scrutinised. And if there is a majority up there, it can get quieter. Things sort of pass through unchecked. Do you think that that is an issue come 2021?
It's certainly a possibility. With the way the upper house is structured, the Liberals need to do extremely badly and Labor would have to do extremely well.
Okay.
Labor, for context, Labor only has 14 seats in the 36-seat chamber at the moment,
right,
and that's despite them doing exceptionally well at the last election. So that's, you know, them winning a majority in their own right is really, really unlikely. But perhaps if they could win enough seats together with the Greens, that might make their life a bit easier.
Yeah. Now, in terms of a surprise, I guess a lot of people, me specifically in the wider community, were a bit shocked with Ms. Harvey stepping down yesterday. Do you think that this has been a long time coming, considering the months of bad polling, both internally and via, you know, places like the West Australian and other news outlets?
Yeah, there's been a lot of pressure internally on Lisa Harvey, and essentially it was, one, they didn't think that she could win the election, but two, they're worried about losing extra seats.
Yeah.
And when you're getting polling that shows that senior MPs, you know, senior shadow ministers might lose their seats, even Lisa Harvey in her own seat of Scarborough was under threat, then that sounded a lot of alarm bells. And it's probably that, really, more than anything else, that's led to this.
Yeah. Now, Lisa said she stepped down to give the Liberals a chance to reset their election strategy before March, and that COVID made it difficult for her message and their messages to resonate. How likely is a shake-up set to make a difference, do you think?
It's very difficult to make a big difference this late in the piece.
Right.
For context, how much parliamentary time is the new team going to have make any kind of impact?
Yeah.
Really, all that the new team would be able to do is to think about what policies they might come up with in their own areas and hope to wheel some of them out, and hopefully they'll make an impact. But they're not going to make an impact in Parliament.
Now, there is a two-horse race in terms of who may be up for leading the next Liberal Party. They're quite different characters. One is a first-term MP, Zach Kirkup, and the other is Dean Nolder, who's been a minister in the Barnett government before. Do you think that this is a really... what's the difference between them, and what do you think that the Liberal Party need to move forward for success?
Yeah, it's a very interesting contest. Dean Nolder's you know, he's part of the old guard. Seems strange to sound that. He's only been in Parliament himself since 2013.
Yes.
Which is not a really long time. By for context, McGowan's been in Parliament since 1996.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got some MPs like Michelle Roberts and Alana McKinnon been around there for a hell of a long time. So he's relatively new, but he's portraying himself as the MP with experience because he was the Minister for Finance and Transport in the Barnett government. Mm-hmm. So he does have ministerial experience. And I think probably the other thing that he's selling is that he's close to business.
Right.
So he can leverage the business community.
Right.
Now, the other contender, Zach Kirkup, being a brand new member and only in his first term, is probably going to be selling a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
Energy, enthusiasm, passion, those kinds of qualities. And he's probably been able to raise his profile considerably well, given that he's in opposition and in the first term as the Shadow Minister for Health.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the difference. You know, one's been around a little bit longer, portraying himself as the experienced hand, and the other one talking about fresh ideas.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how everything shakes out tomorrow after the party room meeting. But looking forward to the people that actually matter, being the community in Western Australia. We want stability, specifically at this point in time. And if it ain't broke, is there much point in fixing it? So how likely is it, do you think, that McGowan will remain our Premier at the next election and this new fandangled Liberals WA team look to snatch some of their seats?
Oh, look, I think any objective observer would say it's extremely likely that the government will be returned.
Yes.
You know, you get very strange events that take place. I think if you're a Liberal, what you might be looking at is 2008, mm-hmm. when Colin Barnett took over. He was the fourth Liberal leader in opposition that term.
Yeah. Wow.
And within days, the election was called by Alan Carpenter.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, a few missteps later, Colin Barnett was Premier. Strange things can happen.
Oh boy.
That was an extraordinary occurrence. Does lightning strike twice? I'm not sure. But certainly the new leader would be a fairly long shot.
Yeah, indeed. So in terms of how this looks moving forward, do we here in WA, do we have any sort of correlation with any other political structure, the way that the environment looks, whether it be in, you know, the David Cameron years in the UK or someone like Angela Merkel, where she's been in power for 15 years as Chancellor in Germany and things like that? Does WA have any resonance with anyone external to Australia?
Oh, look, it's interesting. I think if you're looking at broader electoral trends at the moment, mm-hmm. incumbents that rely on medical advice, so we can exclude perhaps US President Trump, who's notoriously a bit different, but most incumbents have done well during the COVID pandemic, and that would probably bode pretty well for the WA government.
Mm.
If you look at the elections here, we've had three elections during COVID.
Yes.
We've had Queensland, Northern Territory and ACT,
yeah.
and they've all gone to the incumbent, and the opposition's made little to no inroads in any of them. So, you know, that also tells us, Jenna, that the landscape's pretty tough from opposition at the moment.
Yeah, indeed. Interestingly, I don't know whether it's a lot of people have seen it, but when a lot of the ads are starting to come through on social media that have been pushed by WA Liberals and obviously WA Labor, it's really interesting you're seeing that some of the newer candidates, the fresher face, are now sort of touting themselves as your local Mark McGowan representative for insert seat and electorate here. Do you think that, I think we all saw this coming, it's going to be a very presidential style campaign given Mr. McGowan's popularity. Do you think a lot of people are going to get a bit miffed at that, or do they want to see more of the fact that, you know, your team red and old mate here is team blue?
Yeah, I've never been the biggest fan of presidential style politics. I like to know what either side's offering somewhat, but I think that it's fairly natural for Labor to use that sort of Trump card given Mr. 89% is in office. So I'm not that surprised at all. And you know, sometimes you get accused of the opposite. So there's been times when, I think when Colin Barnett was running last time, it probably bit on the nose by that stage.
Uh-huh.
He'd been a very long-standing leader.
Yes.
And he wasn't on some of their material, and the Liberals got a whack for that. So
yeah.
I think if you don't use him, you get in trouble. If you do use him, you get overuse them, perhaps you get in trouble. You can't win sometimes.
You really can't. Politics, I've discovered pretty quickly, you can't win anything. You may win elections, but you don't win much.
That's right. Now, that's right. So it will be an interesting contest.
Indeed. Any further, I guess we just need to wait and see what happens from tomorrow. But any interesting observations you've seen? I guess we had Parliament wrap up last week. Any interesting observations you saw in terms of any legislation come through or things that are still on the boil for WA?
There's one piece of legislation that's regulating election donations. I don't think that's going to excite the masses that much, yeah. But I'm keeping a close eye on that. Mm. But for the most part, I think the individual pieces of legislation are still getting a lot less coverage than the broader issue of the pandemic and the borders.
Yeah,
because we're still in that state of flux where, you know, do we open up the borders to Victoria soon? They've been a long time without any cases. What's the situation with South Australia? South Australia is very sensitive, of course, because mm-hmm. so many people can actually travel overland to one place, pretty much.
Yeah, no, indeed.
You can drive here.
Yeah, indeed.
So there's those sorts of issues that I think occupying, and family reunions and the like, occupying a lot of voters' attention.
For sure, absolutely. Now, Notre Dame's University's Dr. Martin Drum, it's a tricky time for a state election. Thank you so very much for explaining that all to us on The West Live. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.
My pleasure, Jenna.